The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's on till 1. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. You can text 166 177. Also WhatsApp if we're in your contacts book. 166 177 as well. So, the first of 47 cruise liners has arrived today. It looks like there's going to be a lot less rented accommodation. As it said, the landlords are selling up with a new landlord's bill coming in. And public sector housing not being covered by that. And what's going on the buses?
Considering we haven't had cruise ships visiting for 2 years, the numbers for this year are possibly could exceed 2019 pre-pandemic, which is great news.
47 cruise ships going to be arriving on the Isle of Man this year. And we're almost in May, so that's a lot of ships going to be arriving. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Beautiful day. Just good news there, as you were saying, about the cruise ships. They're coming into Peel as well, so it'll spread the number of people about. But 47 cruise ships for the season. Excellent. But on the website, on I think it's 3FM, the work on the sunken gardens could be delayed. Now, we've had this over the last couple of 3 weeks, and the council came up, apparently, I don't know who said it, but it was on your programme, that they're waiting on an insurance claim. Now they turn around and say, work to repair the sunken gardens on Douglas Promenade could be delayed to accommodate a wider project to renew the seawall. Now, why are they waiting for something that hasn't even been proposed or passed yet before they repair something? And all the barriers that's along the promenade, they're most attractive. It's a wonder they haven't painted them all different colours. And this is where there's 47 ships coming in, and people who will get off these ships might not go on the coaches, but they could walk through and along the promenade, and they see dereliction. Now, that's going to go back to the ship, and it's going to go back to the company that's running the ships, and it's going to filter down through. And Douglas Corporation should hang their heads in shame, because several times in the past, and I've said it because I served my apprenticeship in the gardens, and that's gone back a long time. In 1966, I remember them getting knocked down exactly as they are now. And they started immediately and rebuilt them. And the question I asked the last time, the stone that was knocked down has been removed. Has it been put into storage or has it been buried somewhere? Because that is building stone, which is at a premium these days. And not only that, but the stone matches. It'll make a continuous system all the way along the promenade. But if they decide to put these fancy stone walls along, they'll never match up and they'll never look good. But the sea wall that they're proposing is 50 feet away from the garden walls. So what difference is it going to make? Are they wanting it done on the cheap? Are they wanting the DOI to do it? And just shirk their responsibilities, because that's what it looks like.
Well, Andrew Bentley is the Douglas Council's lead for regeneration and community, and he said the authority should avoid doing the same job twice.
Well, so, they're not even doing it once.
Well, that is true, yes.
You know, they're not even making any provision for it. They're sitting there, clasped hands, tears running down their cheeks. What are we going to do? Get up off your backsides and get something done, because the town is falling into disrepair.
Well, you wonder, and you say that the passengers from the Maud that are currently going around the Isle of Man are being transported. As you said, they may feed that back to the ship, they may feed it back to their tour operator. But, I mean, nowadays that can go around the world in a tweet or on Facebook,
oh, yes,
on Instagram, so they could send all sorts of photos about
exactly.
The Isle of Man.
And that's what these clowns in the corporation and the town council They're not even thinking about that. They're so busy looking through their rose-coloured glasses and wasting money that there's an area on the promenade which was abject beauty. And I will say that because the gardens were always beautiful. And I served my apprenticeship in the gardens, in the Douglas Corporation parks, and we were proud of them. And not now. It doesn't seem to be any pride at all in the council. You stand down there where that children's play area is, it's fenced off, the children can't play. It hasn't even been swept. And you cast your eyes across the road to an old hotel, I think they called the Marina, and it's derelict.
Mm.
It is disgraceful. And that there is what people will see when they walk along that promenade. Okay, at the other end of the prom, they're starting to paint the hotels, etc., will be tidy. But you've got where the Villiers site is. That's been boarded up like a building site for God knows how many years. The work, as I mentioned last week, on that area down where KFC used to be, has come to a halt. And the promenade, well, that's not finished.
I'm trying to remember how it is. The Sugarland open now?
That's one that's been decorated, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yes. I saw a scaffold and I went along the promenade the other day just to see what it was like. And I noticed over the other end by the promenade T-shirt area, I think it is, or the palace, something like this, isn't that area? There's already a new tarmac patch halfway across the road where they've been digging it up again.
You just wonder, and I just want to take you back to that word pride, Howard, and obviously Douglas, the members of the councillors in Douglas, obviously must have pride in Douglas because they're elected representatives. They've chosen the job. They weren't forced into it. They volunteered for the job. But
having said that, the pride is an eagle. I know some that went in there because they thought they were going to be the good and the great, and fell on their faces. But there are others, and I will say this, the ex-mayoress, Raina Chattel, she's worked her heart out all her life, and her husband, George, and there's quite a number in there, but there are others, and they seem to reach the top of the tree and walk all over the newcomers. And that is totally unfair. And Douglas is, as I say, it's becoming a disgrace. That's just the word it should be, a disgrace. And it used to be, and it should still be, the pride of the island. What are they used to call it? What was that? The bay, the Capri?
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah.
Just because of the shape of the bay. Along the promenade, there used to be all the flowers right the way through. Where are you going to put them now? And where were we yesterday? We went to Ramsey yesterday, and we walked down the street and back up again, and there must be at least 10 shops in Parliament Street that boarded up or fallen down or just shut. Now, if these people, today's coach, go up there and wander through their street, they wonder what they've come to. They think they're on a film set for a disaster movie. Are they going to wait for the government? And it could be 3 or 4 years. So are those walls going to stay down for that length of time?
All right, Howard, we appreciate you calling today. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, it's 12:15 on Manx Radio. Quaint, quirky, or run down, or dismal? It depends how you look at it. Lots of people really dislike modern plastic and metal and the fact that it looks very contrived. We have lots of stuff on the Isle of Man that perhaps isn't painted as well as it could have been, or maybe hasn't been painted for the past 20 years. Some people think that's quirky. There's some really nice shops down Michael Street in Peel that are a bit like that. I find them quirky myself. I'm sometimes rail against over-modernism. But maybe that's just me. I wonder what you think, and I wonder what our guests on the Maud are thinking.
There are a reducing number of landlords in the market, and as such, there are far less properties available now. But this is all as a consequence of government interfering in the market.
It's 16 minutes past 12 midday on Manx Radio, and Jenny's with us now. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Jenny, you're live on the air. Everybody's waiting for you.
Oh,
All right. Okay. Well, at risk of going over old ground discussing electricity bills,
yeah,
I've discovered an excellent way of reducing the electricity bill based on the theory that things that use electricity to heat up, like the washing machine, use a lot of electricity. So I happened to go on a visit to Costain's scrapyard, as you do, and found an old copper posser. Depending from where you come from, either a washing dolly or a posser that you put in your pot up and down with your washing in a big bucket. I've got a 25-litre bucket. Now, we have wood-burning stoves. So rather than waste the heat on the top, because ours are designed to cook on the top, etc., I heat all the water in the wood-burning stove, which is lit anyway, because at the moment it's our only source of heating. And heat all the water, shove the washing in the bucket, posser it up and down like they used to do in the 1950s and the 60s, get it lovely and clean with lots of hot soapy water, shove it in the washing machine just to rinse and spin. And I've been doing that now for 6 months, and the latest electricity bill, and this is the only thing that's changed other than using water from kettles on the top to put into the electric kettle so it's not heating from cold, and as many things as we can put on the top to heat up that we can think of. I've got old flat irons, which have been shot blasted and sand powder coated, and I do a little bit of ironing. I use a flat iron. My latest electricity bill was £92.75 cheaper than the previous one, and also a hell of a sight cheaper, a couple of hundred cheaper than the one from this time last year.
Jenny, what was that verb you're using? P-O what?
P-O-S-S for Sierra, E-R, posser.
A posser.
A posser, depending on where in the world you come from. In the north of England, where I came from originally, they were called a posser, but some people call them washing dollies. Now, funnily enough, I joined a Facebook group, which is a national UK thing, and around the same time that I had this idea, and there's about 50,000 members of this group, other people started popping up with this idea. Lots of people have wood burners for decorative reasons, and they just light them in the evening. But instead of wasting the heat that's on the top, shove a kettle on, heat some water up, and do your washing. And four other people said, I've just got one of these, one from a junk shop, one was found in a shed, one from a museum that they bought in a museum shop. So it seems as though there's a bit of a trend of going back to doing your washing, puffing it up and down in a bucket.
So, and you must have arms like Popeye now.
Well, that's when a lot of people said it's good workout and good for the bingo wings, etc. And lots of, I put pictures of it on my Facebook and lots of people laughed at me. But it doesn't take long to. It's a bit like hand washing, I suppose, but it's far easier because you just stand there and listen to the man in line and listen to the radio and pass up and down and chat on the phone and then shove it in the washer for the cold bit with the rinsing and the spinning and then shove it out on the line.
So what's your wood? Is it an Arga you've got, a wood burner?
No, it's not. It's well, we've got two. We're renovating a 200-year-old Manx stone cottage, and they're Essies, E-double-S-E. The one we have in the kitchen is also our oven. It comes with an oven in the bottom, so you light it for your heating, and then the oven heats up. So often, whilst it's, you know, I'm heating water, I shove a loaf of bread in, bake a pie, use the top, put pans on the top and heat stuff up and what have you. And then the ash, because we only burn wood, we don't burn anything else, is clean wood. So then that goes into the compost and we grow all our own fruit and veg.
My word. Jenny, what a life you lead.
Oh, yeah, and I also work part-time as a nurse at Nobles.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
Yeah, don't tell me you patch the road as you come home as well.
Absolutely I do. I sweep the gullies as well.
Thanks for calling, Jenny. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
Good to talk to you, and I hope your possing goes well today. David's with us now. Hi, David.
I definitely haven't got one, but I used to remember them. And I remember when we lived in Williston and my mother had an old mangle, and if you were the youngest in the house, you got onto the mangle and squeezed everything through. But anyway, that we didn't even have electricity half the time. But anyway, Andy, I was going to just step back a little bit. I just wanted to find out from our listeners to find out if anybody's had these green energy audits done, either domestically or commercially, and have the officials been out to assess them? Has anybody been awarded a grant? Have they been rejected? And I'd love to find out if anybody's been rejected on because they haven't got this, that, or the other. Now, the Green Energy Audit was supposed to help people and businesses there, and maybe even local authorities, to tell you the truth. But I just wondered what's happened to it. Because, first of all, they didn't have the expertise for the fellows to come round or the people to come round and do the audits. But I seen on Facebook a couple of weeks ago there that people had some done and they were rejected and they were all disappointed.
Now, is this the same thing as the Manx Home Energy Audit? Is it that?
Yeah, it's a derivative, of I think, of that one.
It's the Green Living Grant Scheme, wasn't it?
That's right. And look at the sun today. I mean, I've got evacuating tubes on my garage. I've got 20 of them. And I'll be producing it's a 160-litre tank pressurised cylinder in the garage. So when I get home, I'll have enough hot water. But we need to be looking at all these things, you know, because I would like a slice of the $42 million.
I think we need to get as much information as possible out there. And as you say, if this Green Living Grant Scheme, it went, I think it was July last year it all happened. Two parts. You get the Manx Home Energy Audit and then funding of up to 50% of the cost of energy savings identified by the audit. But as you say, there are problems getting people to do the audit.
Yeah. And the other thing we need to look at too is this, the corporation organisation, not Douglas Corporation, the one that's got challenged with doing the nurses' home, the old prison site, Summerland, and we can go on and on, the school at Park Road there. What is this corporation doing? What's their remit? What are their challenges? And how are they engaging with the Isle of Man? Who will pay for it? What is our commitment to it?
And also, what's the plan for the future? I mean, because obviously when the nurses' home is done, it'll be nice. It's got a cafe in it. It's going to have a roof terrace and what have you. That's fine. But what's the financial model for it all?
Well, that's it. And the other thing, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I heard the Minister for Education, Julie Edge, talking about we're going to build a nice school. Come on. We need to be... I wonder what happened. Nobody's challenged her yet to find out. She took the Chief Minister down to look at the school. Everybody knows what the school is like. It's poor, once done. But where are we? She's going out to tender, or she's going out for drawings on that. The drawings should have been lying on the floor to pick up.
This has been on the books for ages.
Yeah, and it's not only that school. Look at all the schools around the Isle of Man. There must be loads of them that all have a shelf life. And it's like what we call, in staffing-wise, succession planning. What's the succession plan for the property that the government hold on our behalf?
Okay, all right. Thanks for that, David.
Bye.
All right, 24 minutes past 12. The first cruise ship docked here today with just over 200 people disembarking to the Isle of Man. Another vessel expected in Peel tomorrow. It marks the return of cruise ships to the Isle of Man. Angela Byrne is the head of Visit Isle of Man, part of the Department for Enterprise. She says 47 cruise ships are expected to visit from now till September. 16,000 people. A move, she says, is very, very welcome.
Yeah, it's great to be able to welcome back the cruise ships back to the island. Well, in 2019, we welcomed 47 cruise ships, and that they had 11,400 passengers. And that year was actually our highest number that we'd recorded. So when you compare that with those that are booked in for this year, we've got 47 cruise ships. We're still getting a lot of interest, so that number may go up. And we're looking at 16,000 passengers. So considering we haven't had cruise ships visiting for 2 years, the numbers for this year are possibly could exceed 2019 pre-pandemic, which is great news. We have another on Thursday. So yeah, it really is the sort of start of the cruise season. They are a key part of our overall visitor offering. They bring increased footfall around the towns and villages for the retail and hospitality sector. So they're a key part of helping to increase the business and increase visitor spend around the whole island, because they do go on excursions around the whole island. They don't just stay in Douglas, for instance.
What's some of the things that these people do?
Well, the cruise ship coming in, the MOD, there's 218 passengers, but they they are taking part in, two groups are taking part in beach cleaning program alongside Beach Buddies. We've also got groups who are taking part in nature and bird watching and also going walking in Scarlet. So the cruise passengers do get around the island in various ways. And obviously we'll have some walk-offs who may go into Douglas shopping or get the train down to Castletown, for example, or Port Erin, and, do their own thing. So there's a mix.
Well, there's a thought, eh? We get the cruise passengers here and we set them to work. We get them cleaning the beaches up. Well done to Bill Dale and the Beach Buddies for helping them. So two groups around the Isle of Man. If you see them, give them a wave. A ditto for those in Peel tomorrow. So we wish them well. What's your first thought? What are they going to think of the Isle of Man? Maybe they've been here before, but first-time visitors, what do you think they'll think of the Isle of Man? Howard was saying that some of the places, you know, just look a bit run down. And if they take a look at the promenade, what are they going to think with Douglas Promenade? I've got a note in, by the way, the Green Living Grant Scheme statistics updated as, I think it was last Thursday, the latest figures I've got. There have been 1,616 applications for the Green Living Grant. 1,599 have been approved. That means that 17 weren't. There have been 214 Manx home energy audits completed, and 106 are scheduled. So out of the 1,599 approved for audit, 214 have been completed, and there are another 106 on the way. Text, email or call, what do you think they're going to see? What do you think our visitors are going to think to the Isle of Man today? If you have a thought, by all means, get in touch. I qualified last year, said Pauline, but I don't qualify this year. They say my falling apart patio doors and holy front door are energy efficient. Is that so, Pauline? Here's a note in, just to say, no need to worry about the coaches. They're in Port Erin, says Sue. All the best to you. The sunken garden fiasco, says Malcolm. Unnecessary excuses and incompetence. Just get on, rebuild the wall now, says Malcolm. Howard's right, says Malcolm. Douglas Promenade, says this texter on 094. Douglas Prom is disgraceful. I walked along it yesterday. Just look at the black lampposts opposite the old Summerland. They're full of rust. Take a look at the fences, the plastic-covered metal fences on the seawall as well. They're rotting. They're rusting from the inside. Same old, says Rob. Cheap and nasty. Councillors, MHKs, I don't think, give a damn, as long as their pensions and wages are protected. More proud Manx men and women needed for government, says Rob. Well, that'll be you, Rob. I take it you're going to stand, is that right? Because we can all knock the elected representatives. Maybe they didn't know what they were getting into. Maybe they, some of them, possibly a bit naive, thinking they were going to get in and change absolutely everything. And now they face reality of what happens in those institutions. There are some really, really conscientious, hard-working people working in Douglas Council, in councils and commissioners right across the Isle of Man. Not everything can get done. So we assume that they've got the best intentions, they're honest and they're hardworking, and they want to do the best. But this is the place where you can feedback your thoughts to those elected representatives. What do you think the visitors on the first of 47 cruises will think of the Isle of Man?
Ethel Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Athol, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Athol!
Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the A-team, 820082.
You'll find a fantastic array of special events on the dining car this season, with themes and tastes ranging from old favourites like the Pie and Mash Train and the Curry Club, to Go Greek, the Tapas Train, Indochina Express and much more. With tickets at just £32 per person for travel and a delicious two-course meal. For dates, times and bookings, call 697 457 or visit rail.im.
If your washing machine, cooker or fridge has broken down and you need a replacement fast, just call into Pascoe's of Tramode, where you'll find a wide range of electrical goods at great prices. If you see something on display at Pascoe's of Tramode, it's guaranteed to be in stock for you to take away straight away. Or if what you want isn't in store, talk to Pascoe's and we'll do what we can to get it for you. For superb service, excellent prices and great choice, visit the island's premier electrical appliance retailer, Pascoe's of Tramode.
Bond Fabrics have moved to Strand Street. We stock curtain and upholstery fabrics and dress and costume fabrics. Also knitting and crocheting yarns, with a made-to-measure curtain and blind service too. Visit our new showroom at 51 Strand Street, Douglas.
Do you know your... from your... or your... from your... If not, the Tweet of the Week podcast is for you. Each week, early birder Tim Earle explains more about the birds you can hear in your garden, on the hills, in the woods, at the seashore, or perhaps even at work. If you're not a bird brain, or even if you are, you need to subscribe to the Tweet of the Week podcast by going to manxradio.com, Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. Is what Twitter was made for.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Past my 28 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Just to reiterate, I have extended the invitation for Douglas Council to come on Man in Line just to talk about what's happening around Douglas, to give you some good news about what's happening around Douglas as well. Obviously, the carnival's going to be happening, which is good news. It's coming back. But exactly, in fact, a lot of the time, lots of local politicians get quite frustrated because they're asked about things that don't come under their authority. They're asked about things that are run by central government, and vice versa, that happens. So I think the more information we get out there, the better. Now, following up from yesterday, Catherine dropped me a note in. This is Catherine from Boise in Idaho in the United States. I was interested listening to Man in Line, with lots of talk about attracting younger people to the Isle of Man. I don't know the ins and outs of the university support that the island gives, but perhaps this tweak could make it more effective for retaining youth on the Isle of Man. Instead of giving the support while students are away at university, only for them perhaps to move away and never come back, perhaps the support could be given after university. For every year they work and live on the Isle of Man, they could get a certain amount of their university costs reimbursed. It could even apply to young people who are not originally from the Isle of Man. We do this in the United States to help get in-demand professionals to more remote areas of the country that are desperate for workers. No need to chase down the people who move away, as you only get the support if you stay on the Isle of on the island for a given amount of time. Just a thought, says Catherine. I got a few messages yesterday saying that the problems we have on the Isle of Man aren't exclusive to the Isle of Man. It happens in rural areas all over the place. Indeed, in Boise in Idaho, and that's fairly rural. So perhaps that's the thing to do, that you give perhaps our university students, as well as, and of course, a proportion of their university tuition fee is paid for out of public funds on the island, perhaps more support for people coming back to the island, or indeed coming to the Isle of Man. It is a perennial problem. Looking back, I was doing some reading about the 1950s. Big problem in the middle of the 1950s of people leaving. The tourism industry was going down. Of course, it hit its apotheosis. Its zenith was pre-First War. So it was always trickling down throughout the rest of the 20th century. But in the mid-1950s, it was very noticeable. And they didn't know what to do because, obviously, everybody relied on the 13-week season that we had back then. And for the rest of the year, the other 37-odd weeks, it was tough times. Obviously, the winter work schemes, people were helped to go away to work in the sugar beet fields in Lincolnshire. So it's not a new problem, but perhaps some new thinking for it. Catherine, thanks for that note in. Really appreciate that. Easter and sickness are proving a difficult combination for the bus on the Isle of Man. Cancellations to buses due to the lack of staff. Other issues have come bubbling up. Drivers' complaints about the amount of casual labour. that is being used on the buses and also about the hours that they work. One specific gripe is they weren't credited with finding a solution for the Castletown bus loop issue. Now, John Moss has seen a statement from management giving their summary of events.
The statement from Transport reads as follows. We've had a few contributing factors to our staff shortage, which are due to high levels of staff sickness within the holiday period. The team are working hard to find cover. We expect things to calm down over the next 24 hours. We have nearly 100 full-time bus drivers. On top of this, we have casual drivers too. And due to the staff shortage, we are utilising the casuals to keep the services running as much as possible. That comes from the Transport Division. So I went to Unite the Union and talked to Debbie Housel, their representative, and said to her, is this not just the company trying to keep a bus service going in difficult circumstances?
They're giving you a statement that basically is not all factual. The managers and the controllers are doing the work as well, as casuals, including Mr. Longworth and Mr. Bates.
Mr. Longworth is driving vehicles himself as part of the driving staff?
Yes.
There's an argument going on at the moment over the structure of pay for the drivers, when pay goes up, etc., etc.
Because there's quite a few tiers of different variations of pay, starting with your original contract, your 5/6, your new starters, 5/6, then you've got your new starters, 5/7, and then you've got your casuals and your part-timers.
They also complain of weariness and say that their hours are much too long.
Yeah. I mean, obviously alterations to duties and the expected duties could run from 10 to 11 hours of driving, from 7 hours, 34 minutes. The work-life balance is impacted in that.
Presumably Mr. Longworth is trying to get the best bus services he can get, isn't he?
I'll pass no remark on that one.
The buses themselves, we see a lot of them. They're lovely vehicles.
I mean, you can have as many nice vehicles as you want. But while they sit in bank circles and no staff behind them, what does that do? So all we try is basically for easy resolution and to move forward in that mutual respect that the driver's voice is being heard, which seems to fall flat at times. We've got absolute fantastic people who are sitting down in bank circles and never given the credit. Well, it should be credit, it should be due. They want to do the best, but they also want to have their work-life balance as well.
We've contacted the Director of Transport, Mr. Longworth, Ian Longworth, for a response, but it seems things are bubbling away in the background. Let's get one thing clear, says Peter. Bus drivers aren't asking for a pay rise. Bus drivers are fed up with casuals doing full-time drivers' jobs and getting paid more than the full-time driver. This message. Some notes in regarding the cruise ship. Just a quick thought. With all these cruise liner visitors, will the welcome centre and the sea terminal be open? I'm sure it will be. I've been told from a very good source, says Texter 892, that casual drivers get £1 per hour more than full and part-time drivers. Casuals also get on top of their pay 8% rolled up holiday pay. I understand completely why the drivers are fed up, says Peter. More messages in, and thanks for your SMS texts in today. The cruise ship passengers were picking litter at Hango Hill this morning with beach buddies. Confirmed from Texter 258. People complaining about the Isle of Man in some form or another should remember they could be living in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. If it's nice here, if you don't like it, move out, says Roy. On 505. Roy's words, a message in that says, don't forget the Man in Line is heard around the world every day. So the Isle of Man will sound a bit third world, says JK. In what way, JK? The people on the cruise ships are coming to see what a third world country looks like in the Northern Hemisphere, says Gary and Ramsey. Oh, is the glass half full or half empty? Don't forget the prom, the laxi wheel, the flumes. Leave it in a mess. Concentrate on the cycle path and rebuilding railway bridges for cycles, says John. Political priorities, eh? Same old, says Rob. Cheap and nasty. Councillors and MHKs who don't give a damn. More messages around Douglas Promenade saying it still looks a disgrace. The sunken gardens is a fiasco. Well, the official line is they don't want to do it twice. So that's the way. The sooner Ramsey Pier is finished, the better. The cruise ships can dock there and avoid the disgraceful, neglected town called Douglas, says Paul. Can't remember how much money is spent bird watching, walking around Scarlet and rubbish picking. If someone could just confirm what local companies benefit from their activities, that would be lovely. P.S. I'd like to be a cruise customer. It'd be nice if we could just book a few days on the ships. Hop on and hop off. See your local travel agent. They could help. Derek said, I don't think Douglas Council's fit for purpose and the government should just take over. How about the college building on the prom, the stone wall to work experience, perhaps for trainee builders, and a message in that says, I think the visitors will think at least they're doing something on the prom as opposed to the rest of the island, which looks run down and dirty. Half the big attractions aren't working. The island is beautiful, but it's just run down. I think most visitors will be disappointed. Says Kirsty. Well, we have had 2 years of COVID, so perhaps we're getting back to normality. Perhaps it's all on the way. You can't build walls with clipboards, says Texter 514. All the government workers have clipboards. Are there any manual workers left? It's the clipboard army.
Discover why visitors return time after time to the Welbeck Hotel, fabulously located near Douglas Seafront. A Welbeck voucher makes the perfect gift for all occasions, from birthdays and engagements to anniversaries and thank yous. The lucky recipient will love spending it on a delicious meal or overnight stay at the Welbeck. Why not surprise your someone special with a Welbeck voucher? Book today. Call the Welbeck on 675-663 or visit welbeckhotel.com.
Now is definitely the season to visit Ramsey Garden Centre, where there's something new and unique arriving in-store every week. Right now, find a huge array of colourful summer bedding and basket plants, plus pots and ceramics for indoor and outdoor plants, lovely gift ideas, solar lights and fabulous garden decor. Visit us on Facebook to see what's new at Ramsey Garden Centre. For expert information, call 816 506 or take a trip to Ramsey Garden Centre, open 7 days a week on Albert Road.
You want how much? 1% commission? That's £2,000 to sell my house? That's it. I'm seeing red.
Sick of huge commission fees? Don't get mad. See red. With CG Red, the new service from Cowley Groves, you can sell any house up to £350,000 for a fixed £750 fee. That's a saving of up to £2,750 on what you'd pay with a traditional estate agent.
So go on, see red. Visit cgred.im. They're giving other estate agents a darn good thrashing.
Rex Motor Company, or should I now say, the award-winning Rex Motor Company, are here for leasing, sales and servicing of some of the best cars money can buy. We're the first motor dealer to win an Isle of Man award for excellence thanks to our excellent customer service, and you can expect that every time you come and see us. Our friendly showroom team are on Whitehoe Industrial Estate, so come and have a browse of our top-of-the-range vehicles. Or visit rexmotorcompany.im and have a browse at home. That's rexmotorcompany.im.
Alexa, tell me how to win a Sonos One speaker.
She can't help, but Manx Radio can. We've got together with Manx Telecom for another great spring winning weekend. We'll be playing sounds from different gadgets this weekend, both on air and on Manx Radio's Facebook page. If you know what they are, text your name and your answer to 166177. Then be listening to Monday's breakfast show to see if you're a winner. And for great deals, free gifts and top-of-the-range gadgets and handsets, visit mt.im.
Alexa, play the nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Quarter to one, and Tommy's with us. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hello, Andy. Just aware about one of the stories on the web pages from a councillor, Ian Clegg, Andy.
Yeah.
It said about the carnival being shortened. Ian Clegg said it's been curtailed due to concerns about a lack of attendance beyond the high street. Now, if you can tell me where the high street is, Andy, I'll give you 100 quid, mate. There's no such thing as the high street. What's he talking about?
I think he's talking about the high street in inverted commas. Maybe he means Strand Street.
Well, he shouldn't. No, he should just have put... No, he didn't. He should have put the beyond the Loch Promenade, there, shouldn't he? And he's it would no longer short a route. Well, we know that. You know, that doesn't make any sense. But on further, and it'd be my favourite topic, Ian Longworth. Now, you know what happened, don't we? He was responsible for getting rid of two of the best project managers that you'd ever likely to see, Andy.
I didn't know about that. Is that true?
Oh, it is true. Listen, I did a bit of bluffing one day, Andy. It's a marvellous what you can do with a clipboard. I had a clipboard and a pen, and I thinged myself up a bit. I went down, and I went along talking to them because there's no security there to kick you out. And I said, how's it going? And to one chap, he's obviously an expert, and he said, I'm not going to stand this anymore, mate. I said, why? He said, because of that idiot there pointing to Ian Longworth. He wanted to take over and tell experts how to do the job, Andy. And that's the truth. That's why two of them left, because of him.
So what do you think is going to happen with the used buses, Tommy?
Well, it shouldn't be used buses, should they? They should be still driving. I mean, why are they used? Are they counted out as the engine's gone, Andy, or what?
Well, we've offered Mr. Longworth the opportunity just to come and have a chat and put their side. They keep sending us pieces of paper to read out. I think we're the newspapers, so we're going to print them. But this is radio. It works on voices. So if somebody from the transport people could come on and talk, that'd be great.
I mean, it wouldn't be for me to say, Andy, that every time he gets a fleet of new buses, and it's not me that's saying this, that he gets a £70,000 Mercedes at the same time, Andy. I mean, that's somebody else saying that, Andy.
No, and, well, I mean, that's those are your words, Tommy. We don't know anything about that. But
of
obviously...
Of course, it's well known, Andy. Everybody knows.
Well, if people... But obviously, we're going to give everybody the opportunity to clear this, to clarify matters and get to the bottom of it, because we need to, things need to move on. We can't look in the past all the time, can we, Tommy?
Well, how much did the diesel engine cost in the past then, Andy?
What, the cabbage?
I mean, he was responsible for that.
Where is the cabbage these days?
I don't know. Where's the park? Is it Port End Seafront or something like that? I don't know. I mean, he was responsible. He was responsible for that. I mean, he altered the thing. And when the experts came over from Canada, they walked out of there and lifted the engine cowling up. They were gone in 10 minutes, Andy. He just said, who's done this? And he said, I have. Who's done that? I have. And he just slammed the cowling down. And they'll back off the candidate, and they said, you're responsible for this.
Well, this is all part of the Department of Infrastructure. This is all down to Mr. Crookall, because ultimately, infrastructure is responsible for buses.
Oh, exactly. But he said, look, it shouldn't be involved anywhere in public life, Andy. I mean, how these people get voted in, I don't know. I mean, they should have had me and you as number one or number two, Andy. I tell you, mate.
Forget me. You perhaps, Tommy, but not me, no.
Yes, you can. You've got it in your handy. I can see the driving you on your round. You do a good job of presenting this problem. Anyway,
I'm very impressed with your confidence. All right, Tommy, thanks for calling us today.
All right, Andy. Cheers, mate.
We appreciate that. It's 11 minutes to 1 on Manx Radio. Manx Radio always offers people the right of reply. If anybody wants to come on and clarify situations and put the information out into the public domain, that's great. We are a radio station, so we appreciate somebody speaking on the air rather than sending us pieces of paper to read out. Because it works that way, doesn't it? It works better that way if somebody actually says something to you rather than say, here, read this. Well, that's the story with the buses. I want to quickly stop you getting into trouble if I can. 5th of May this year. 5th of May is a really important deadline. It's the deadline for submitting employers and contractors' tax returns, and it's 2 weeks away, really. It's a week. Well, bank holidays a week next Monday. So it's just after that. The Income Tax Division hasn't got the tax return for the year ended 5th of April 2022 by the 5th of May, £250 penalty. Please don't say I haven't warned you. £250 penalty will be charged if your tax return for the 5th of April 2022 isn't in by the 5th of May this year. Employers and contractors may also be liable to a penalty of £50 a day for each day that the return continues to remain outstanding, commencing from the day after that on which the £250 penalty is charged. So please, if that's something that you need to get sorted out, please get it sorted out. I think we've got time because I wanted to talk about this landlord's thing. The Landlord's Registration Act is creating a perfect storm for the rental market, according to a company that represents them. Now, the bill went through Timwell last July. It's waiting for the royal assent before it can be implemented. But the Landlords Association, the Alabama Landlords Association, claims it's already having a negative effect on the number of properties available to rent on the Isle of Man. And we always know what, when demand exceeds supply, what happens. Amy Griffith's been looking at this.
It's no secret that the housing market in general on the Isle of Man is becoming more and more competitive, with house prices at some of the highest levels we've ever seen and the general cost of living going up and up. More people who can't afford to get on the property ladder are relying on rental accommodation. But the Landlords Association says that the new act is putting so much pressure on them that many are leaving the industry, causing an even lower supply for an ever-increasing demand. Alan Burrows is the chairman, and he's been telling me why he's so concerned.
There are a reducing number of landlords in the market, and as such, there are far less properties available now. But this is all as a consequence of government interfering in the market, and the new Landlords Registration Act has not taken any of this into consideration at all, because landlords are now leaving the market in huge numbers, and I don't think anybody fully understands just how big the numbers are. There are far, far more people taking the opportunity of these property price increases and taking the opportunity to leave the market because they just don't want to comply with the new legislation. And one of the things you've got to appreciate as well is that on the Isle of Man, the majority of landlords pay the rates. In England, the majority of tenants pay council tax. Now, that has obviously the effect of pushing rents up slightly. But then on top of that, you've got all the government interference. The fear about the new property standards is pushing a lot of people away from the market. So these are all considerations. But the primary one is the reduction in the number of available properties to rent.
Tim Crookall is the Department of Infrastructure Minister and has told us he thinks there's a lot that needs to be done before the Act can be fully implemented.
It hasn't moved on at all at the moment, and we've said...
Can I just ask you that? When will it be fully implemented?
I've no idea, because we've said that with the new Housing and Communities Board, we're working with those at the moment, and this is waiting in the background, if you like, until we've got that up and running. So there's a lot of work to be done on that. And I know there was a discussion at lunchtime again about it. There's a lot of work, as far as I'm concerned, to be done with this bill before it goes anywhere.
It's been going on for an awfully long time. It needs to be finished. It needs to be brought to conclusion.
Something needs to be done with it. I don't know if it needs to be finished or whatever, John, but something needs to be done with it for sure.
Any thoughts on this? If there's going to be a squeeze on the number of rental properties, we all know what will happen. It's absolutely inevitable. So... do you think this is something that needs to be... well, it's going to be a law. It'll be implemented. That's all there is to it. And the public sector isn't included in this. Any thoughts on the matter? If you've got any sympathy for landlords... I mean, I'm probably pumping an empty well, but do you have sympathy for landlords? 47 incubators of COVID-19 coming to the Isle of Man. The next thing we'll have is another wave of it. Nobles is going to be overrun. Then, hey-ho, the TT is going to be cancelled. That's Tony in Douglas, I think, with a glass half empty. My parents left the Isle of Man, says H on 768, to find work in the 1950s. I was born in Manchester. We returned when I was 3. Worst thing they ever did to me, H. Why are you still here? The poor snowflake drivers, says Dave. The unions are totally out of touch. I think this is absolutely ridiculous. A message in was, I think that man, I agree with the man, I think the corporation need to get that man, I missed his name, and give them some advice. Douglas is a disgrace for visitors to come and see. Let me see, this is Texter 588. It will be regarded as unfair to ex people to come back because their education was paid for, as we receive people working here that have had their education paid for by other countries, says David. Yes, we see the point. There is a point. However, what's the way through it all, David? How do we solve the problem of young people leaving the Isle of Man and not coming back? And as still having to pay for all the public services. If we expect public services, somebody's got to pay for them. We need workers. There is a shortage of workers at the moment and a shortage of particular skilled workers. Bus drivers shouldn't be moaning, says Dieter. They shouldn't be moaning. They're overpaid. Someone's telling fibs. The unions say it's all about work-life balance. Someone now says it's about wages. What is it about? Says Dave. Let me see. Bus Vanin had brought the maybe 30 cruise ship passengers to Hango. Yes, there was a double-decker bus, I think. And there was a Tours Isle of Man bus by the Maud as well. And if you're from the Maud, all the best to you. Thank you for coming to the Isle of Man today. I'm just back from Cyprus. It's the same there. In Cyprus, pubs are shut or run down and buildings in disrepair. Perhaps it's COVID. So we'll be getting the paint pot out. 47 cruise liners coming to the Isle of Man. The first one in today in Douglas, the Maud. Next one in Peel tomorrow. We at the garrison in Castletown had a couple sitting on the sun terrace with a couple of cold beers. They were from the cruise ship. They said they'd travelled down on the steam train. They thought Castletown was lovely, says this texter. Remember, you can call 682-630 for the Man in Line answer phone. Email maninline at manxradio out of hours. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Open Line, Man in Line, back tomorrow. High noon. WINT.